You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. I never meant kids about you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. With your life,
I'm running like a red disease.
I'm running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against
our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're having a good day. Hope you're going to have a great day. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, must do, could do, will do, should do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it isn't, I know you'll get it done anyway, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And we love you and appreciate you for your tenacity, for your perseverance. Right on. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Look for podcasts, click on that, and then right there will be African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, it has been decreased. Talking with Brother Elliot of Time for an Awakening, we have a few programs that have been no longer doing programs for at this time, but may come back. But this program, once again, is 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. African Perspectives on Monday through Friday. Excuse me, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Monday, Monday evenings, Acres of Diamond Public Affairs Programming with Brother Wahad from 6 to 8, followed by every other Monday, Conversations Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey at 9 p.m. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. And then on Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. If it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard from 8 till. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Once again, it's time for an awakening. So as you can see, a lot of programs that are gone that I used to announce at 7 p.m. on Monday. And then Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. It's the Warm Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. They're the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba. The number to call, my good brother, is 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. Brother Bomani, I'm not sure if this April tour, April 3rd through the 13th, may happen, going to Senegal and Gambia, and maybe even the Ghana tour, May 25th to June 5th, may not happen either. Hopefully, the South African tour, November 20th to November 30th, will happen. and that's $3,700. And then he's going back to Ghana again in December 24th through January 5th, 2021. And that's $3,700. And then next year, April 2nd to April 12th, 2021, he's going back to Senegal and Gambia. That's for $3,500. So give Brother Bomani a call. Go online. Go to his website. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, YouTube.com/Bomani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Rinoco has two trips at the end of the year, so to speak. October 5th through the 16th, Brother Rinoco Rashidi. Go to drrinoco.com and look at the beautiful pictures he has of his trip going to Uganda and Rwanda. Uganda and Rwanda, about $4,300. And then he's going to Kemet October 22nd through November 4th, going to Kemet, going to Egypt. So those are two trips for Rinoco. Go online and get the information. Also, too, just to let you know that Brother Mani, Africa for the Africans, on his website, he has everything that you will need to make that trip possible, all the documents and so forth that you will need, visas and everything. So it's a one-stop shop for you right there at AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And I'm quite sure Brother Rinoco will have that as well. Habesha. Habesha. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. HabeshaIncorporated.org. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. What Habesha is, it is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. They have all kinds of programs, the Habesha Works program, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, young people learning how to grow, and of course, the Golden Growers, folks like me. And because one of the projects that they have in here, and it's in operation as we're talking, it is in Ghana. They are building a village, the Kashi Village in Ghana. It is being done. They're still seeking donations, of course, wherever how you can. They're halfway to the $250,000 what it's going to take to build the Kashi Village. And it's beautiful. I mean, they already have many of the buildings that are up. They still need work. But go online, HabeshaIncorporated.org. HabeshaIncorporated.org. Shrine of the Black Madonna. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located here in Atlanta in the West End on Ralph Debert Abernathy Boulevard. The phone number to call is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. I need a call in to find out if the class that they have on Saturday is still going on in light of this virus. Probably isn't. Like everything is just shut down for the time. But the shrine is open Wednesday through Saturday, today through Saturday from 12 to 7, and on Sunday from 1 to 3. They have everything. They got furniture. They got clothing. They got the red, black, and green shoes and the gas shoes, Kwanzaa kits. They got everything. But more importantly, they have books. And so when you go to the shrine or you call the shrine at 404-549-8676, if they don't have the book that you seek, I'm quite sure they'll get it. They also have a Holocaust museum and a class on Saturday, as I just mentioned. I believe that class might not be taking place, but it is every Saturday. Free and open to the public from 1:30 to 3:30. But if you want the information that is provided, they also have a multimedia library. They also have a multimedia library. And it is now 7 terabytes. 7 terabytes of African enlightenment. That's a lot of information, y'all. All kinds of documentaries, movies, all kinds of good stuff. Africa. The Shrine of the Black Madonna. The other bookstore I mentioned is in the Greenbrier Mall, and that's the Medu Bookstore. Mama Nia, beautiful sister. I know I'm scheduled to have a program for her. I'm going to do a program for her next month. That may or may not happen. It depends upon the situation with the COVID-19 situation. So we'll keep an eye open on that. But her bookstore is open in the Greenbrier Mall, open Monday through Saturday. These hours might be cut. I'm not sure if they're still the same hours from 10 to 9 and a Sunday from 12 to 6. But give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. That's the Medu bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore I promote here is Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, Brother Gazimde Ajamu in Lithonia, in Main Street in Lithonia. 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Brother Gazimde Ajamu. Also, too, the ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People, in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Once again, the conference that we had scheduled last weekend did not take place, but we do have a new mission statement, a new vision statement that is out that I'm going to read. I'm going to read it Friday. And it deals with how important it is for us to be sovereign, how important it is for us to come together and collectively do what we must do. That's the bottom line. And y'all know it. And y'all know it. But Us Lifting Us, they have a Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio at 9 p.m. from 9 to 7. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People. Akhmet Institute, Brother Baba Baruti and Sister Yabaruti have been educating our young warriors for many years now, and they deserve our help. They seek no money outside of us, outside of our community. They have nothing. So it's depending upon us because they want to be sorely independent. They don't want anybody to dictate anything. So believe me, they're doing outstanding work. So Akhmet Institute, P.O. Box 1, make your check or money order out to Akhmet Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Akhmet Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But if you want to use Cash App or PayPal, put in the $ YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make your constant contribution. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabriella Aurelia has... She sent me a bunch of pictures the other day, y'all. She's doing a great job. It's in the rural area in Haiti in the northeast corner. So, you know, they're relying on funds from outside and doing fantastic work, educating these young kids when you see them in their uniforms, health care, making sure they're healthy and strong, and the people of the area healthy and strong. And then, of course, sustainable agriculture, which they're practicing, growing food and raising chickens and so forth. Sanjay Dash Haiti, S-O-N-J-E Dash Haiti, AYITI.org. Sanjay Dash Haiti.org. And now, the Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. March 24th. There is no substitute for competence in building self-esteem. Absolutely none. A problem arises when a teacher focuses on self-esteem and not on learning. Barbara Sizemore. Self-esteem is a function of self-activation and practice versus constant, often gratuitous praise from others. Belief in one's talent and abilities, all mental evaluations, must come from internal work. Therefore, a permanent behavior modification must introduce the development of an internalized incentive to succeed. These forces which motivate the individual and group should be internally grounded versus externally manipulated, taken versus given. Personally experienced versus vicariously fantasized. Has the fisherman who learns to fish through trial and tribulation is better prepared to feed his family than one who is reduced to the status of an ignorant, selfless, skillless, dependent beggar who knows only the charity of others. So too is the apprentice better prepared for life when difficult tasks are required through determined practice supported by occasional praise. Lasting, resilient self-esteem is acquired through struggle. Children who come to feel good about self because every successful and or unsuccessful little thing or effort is applauded and or rewarded comes to depend on that praise or the applause and those things for ego gratification. His esteem is dependent based. When this transitory supports are given less easily and frequently, as the child ages, the drive to independently work towards success fades with them. Affirm, I teach using obstacles. Affirm, I teach using obstacles. March 25th, we are dealing with a people who are not penitent, exhibit no remorse for their wrongdoing, seek all possible means to persevere in their nefarious plots, and when found out, blame others for their misdeeds. William Strickland. Our traditional wisdom teaches us that a person becomes human only through social and spiritual development. It is not an honor assumed at birth. Just because you come here in the same way that a male or female does not become a man or a woman simply because they fathered or gave birth to a child. It is an achieved state gained through learning and correctly practicing these qualities such as being selfless, kind, considerate, generous, attentive, humble, caring, respectful, merciful, xenophilic, and conservative of that which is good, creative, and healing that have universally been defined as human creating. One learns them through oral lessons and observations. This humanizing evolution in the individual can only occur within the context of an evolved and spiritually, intellectually, and emotionally matured community. Of course, since even when these qualities are stated as admirable, they are only practiced for show, to deceive, but not from the heart in Western society. This begs the question of whether Europeans ever became human. Ashe. Affirm, I am human. Affirmed, I am human. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I'm going to read this. Occasionally, of course, you know I read this particular piece, Kwame Nkrumah, because I understand how important it is for us to understand where we're coming from. Of course, you know this program, African Perspectives. We talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people because we believe there is no other discussion. Kwame Nkrumah, when he became the first president of Ghana and the first country on the continent to so-called break from the European subjugation in 57. But in 61, he spoke to the people, and this is the Speech of Freedom in 1961. I believe strongly and sincerely that we have the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage. The African culture united under one federal government will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, or suspicion, nor won by at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, directed to the good of all mankind. That's why Kwame Nkrumah, Patrice Lumumba, and Thomas Sankara, and Idi Amin Dada, all of them had to go. Muammar Gaddafi, because they're talking about unifying Africa, but what must be done? He wrote later, if we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we have suffered heretofore. Man. Marimba Ani. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of the European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect of Europe as it has on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from their thoughts so we can visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans. This is a demand by an African-centered view because we are Africans and because the future to which European leads us is genocide. There's a brother named Lester Vilt Middleton would, if you go on YouTube and you put his name in, he's done some outstanding interviews with our great scholars. You can go on YouTube to hear A.C. Hillier, Dr. Ben, Chancellor Williams, Dr. Clark, interviewed by Lester Vilt Middleton. But he had a quote, and it's really good. It's really deep. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet the builder's spade, the shovel, the mason's trowel and square, Africa's books of wisdom. Now go and build for eternity. Brothers and sisters, we have all that we need. We have all that we need. We need to develop the will to make it happen. Brothers and sisters, I have an outstanding friend and guest today to talk with, and that is Brother Alfonso Watkins. Brother Watkins, how you doing?
Hotel, big brother, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, sir. I'm doing well, my brother. Doing well. We haven't talked on radio in quite a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute. It's been a minute, but it's always a pleasure to be amongst you, big brother, for real.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is how it happened with me and Brother Watkins, me and Brother Alfonso. We became members of Motherland Media, and as you know, when I make my announcement coming on the air, I always say the Motherland Media Network. And, you know, because me, Doc Rogers, and it was a few others, as well as Ulu, we were on Blog Talk Radio. And for that, even that, you know, and in fact, when we first started to put that program together, me and brother went to a local gospel station. And on Friday, you know, we chopped it up. So we've been trying to get this thing together. And now I'm here on Time for an Awakening. And it's been great. Black Talk Radio Network, which is the number one Black Talk Radio podcast, not just in the country, but literally in the world. Number one. Mm. And that's Brother Scotty Reed. Brother Scotty Reed out of North Carolina, Black Talk Radio Network. So, but what's been happening with you, dear brother? How you been?
Oh, brother, just doing what y'all done passed on to us, man. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna just put this in the frequency, man, out there in the universe, man. You, Baba Courtney, Baba Sajifo, Baba Mosley, man, I just want to thank y'all for being the brothers that y'all were, man, mm-hmm. coming up in the 60s and 70s into the 80s, mm-hmm. Being unapologetically Black and African, man. That laid the foundation for the man that I am today, man. So I just want to thank you, brother, for being the type of man that you were at
that time
and still is, you know what I'm saying?
I appreciate that because I've seen you, I've seen your development, I've seen your work, and I appreciate it, and I admire you and respect you greatly, man, for the things that you're doing in the Milwaukee area. I know you work a lot with kids. You also have a couple of programs that you initiated, you know, and so I admire you, man. And I'm glad that we finally had a chance to get back on the radio again to talk about the issues that are affecting our people. Cause a lot of times, a lot of times we don't really want to talk about that because it's, it's so painful, and it's and a lot of times we what we want to talk about is to blame ourselves for what has happened to us and what continues to happen to us, you know. And you know, in order for us to come out of this situation, we got to know what we're in and who we're dealing with, and how it happened, so we can formulate the plans to get us out. You know,
right. So yeah, so man, that's the a little bit about myself. I got a I'm a licensed clinical psychotherapist. I got a master's degree in educational psychology with a focus in community counseling. But once I got that degree from UWM, man, I really started studying, you know, Marumba Ani, Francis Cress Wilson, Bobby Wright, Amos Wilson.
No, you got the ones that I love, brother. You got so, hey, listen to this, man. Listen to this, because one brother said, he said if you that, then do you know about Amos Wilson? If somebody said no, he said to me they ain't credited. They ain't worthy.
Real talk.
Yeah.
Real talk, man. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, once I started going into what I queens and kings would write, man, the scholar, it just transformed my perspective and paradigm as it relates to what you was just articulating, the warfare. Mm-hmm. And we have to start having a conversation from a war perspective,
yeah,
so that we can change the paradigm. So the work that I'm doing now in the community, man, is when I get an opportunity to speak to the family, man, is getting them to understand that we got to start looking at ourselves from a spiritual, intellectual, psychological, and biological warfare perspective. Mm-hmm. So we can start getting the brain to start critically analyzing the circumstances that we in.
Yeah.
And that's the military too. Man, I was in the Marines from 88 to 92, so I'm a Desert Storm vet. So that experience really also helped.
Let me tell you.
Shape my understanding.
Yeah. Let me tell you a lot. I admire a lot of you brothers that have came out of the military with a level of consciousness and understanding. And it's deep, because in that training process, the bottom line is you are trained to do the bidding of the United States and Western society. The United States military is the military arm of white supremacy or European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege in the world. And so the United States will send you and those like you anywhere in the world where they think they need to suppress something or agitate something or whatever it may be, you know. And so you and a number of brothers that I've met, that I'm really surprised at, that these brothers, and just like even the psychologist, you know, Naeem Akbar, when he mentioned the fact that he'd gone through the halls of academia, same thing with Dr. Marumba Ani and Francis Cress Wilson, and I'm quite sure Amos Wilson. They've gone through that process. They gave the European what they want. They got their degree, but then their mind and their drive was different from all of the studies that they had dealt with. And it's the same to me with those brothers and sisters who are in the military coming out and then having a perspective and an understanding of what the United States military is about and what we as African people should be about. And that's beautiful, man.
Yeah, it is. But I'm going to lay that back on y'all, man. Coming through commandos, man, back in the day with y'all, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that foundation, man, I'm literally, man, that's mm-hmm. what, you know, even when I joined, man, the reality of that I would have given my, you know, my life mm-hmm. to that space and that place with these Europeans, man. The foundation of being raised in Milwaukee around men who were once again unapologetically African, that helped continue to keep me focused on, you know, going through that 4-year process of serving that time. You know, mm-hmm. and I say serving time because once again, I volunteered to be in a space where I was incarcerated, but I was running from the gang, running from the street. But mm-hmm. once again, that foundation, man, it really had an impact on, you know, once again, my trajectory or trajectory into my manhood. So once again, I'm just continuing the struggle of what y'all was struggling and what our ancestors mm-hmm. have been doing, you know, since mm-hmm. our encounter with these Europeans. So I'm just thankful to have that ancestral consciousness, awareness to continue to struggle.
Right.
So that's what's up, man. Yeah.
Well, that's what we must do, and that's what life is like. You know,
without struggle,
there is no progress, as Frederick Douglass said.
Real talk.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, big brother. Go ahead.
The real thing that he said that I always love, he says, you may not get all you pay for, but you shall surely pay for all you get. In this capitalistic society, that's a real quote there, man.
Real talk.
Yeah.
And that's, once again, man, part of what we're doing, man, is that process of transformation and understanding capitalism and the personality disorder that it creates in us. So once again, when I started to study the concept of Black African psychology, it just gave me another a worldview and a conceptual belief system to function outside of, like Queen Mother Ania is always talking about, and Amos Wilson, once again, because part of what we're seeing in our community now is our brothers and sisters not having an alternative reality to look at this through. And that's why bipolar and schizophrenia is exploding in our community, because our brothers and sisters see that this reality is immoral. There's no righteousness in it. You know, it's out of order, but they don't have an alternative paradigm to function out of. So that's why those of us who are practicing Sankofa, we are able to help those brothers and sisters trying to bring them on back home. You know, come on back home so you can see this reality for what it is, so you can start practicing your African personality or your African ancestral consciousness.
Right.
So that's what we're doing, man.
Good, because that is vital. You know, that's
it is, man.
It is. You know, because one of the things that I see, you know, in this country and globally, I've been blessed to have gone to a number of other places, and the European idea is so predominant everywhere. You know, they have imposed themselves on the world, and they are the world's policemen. And so many people act in that way, even though some of us challenge that, and they definitely deserve to be challenged, you know. But by the same token, we need to start to develop a mindset that we are going to move from that, out of that. And as you say, pose a new paradigm, a new idea, a new way of thinking, behaving, and acting in terms of for self. Like I said, this program is dedicated to independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Because to me, if you come on this program Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, that's what we're going to be talking about. We may be talking about some other things, but the overall context is that, because that's what we need to be. Because and I don't want to argue with somebody, particularly one of us, whether or not we should be independent, liberated, self-determining, or sovereign, because that's crazy.
Because
the only thing we should be talking about is how do we achieve it? What things can we do on a local level, on a national level, on an international level, to make that happen? Because right now, you know, my motto and mantra is Pan-Africanism or perish. That's what Dr. John Henry Clark said. Unify or die. Pan-Africanism or perish, or unify or die. We're at a very critical stage. I'm a member of the Pan-African Federalist Movement, and we have a conference coming up in here, maybe not, depending upon the situation here, the crisis situation that has been developed through the COVID-19 virus in October. But there's going to be the World Conference next year in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. Because if we don't make a move as African people,
Now, this is critical, man, because the reality is the reason they create, that man-made virus is to slow down. The awakening is taking place, and they see it, man. Their time is up. So they recognize that the original man and woman, we are awakening, man.
Mm-hmm.
And they doing everything in their power to distract that.
Yeah.
So that's critical what you just said, man. This is a very critical time in our story.
Yes, it is.
very critical time. So we have to seize the moment. And the conversation about those brothers and sisters who ain't on this, man, they just need to get out the way, man.
Right.
If this ain't what you want, just get out the way.
Get
so
out the way.
In the spaces that we create here, I always call them out, man. Let them know, you know, we going to smoke you out of here if you ain't here to infiltrate.
Off.
Spy.
Man.
You know,
for
you
real.
Getting smoked out of here, man.
Yeah.
So we got to start calling them out. We can't continue to allow those type of brothers and sisters just come sit amongst us and we don't call them out, man. It's
no.
time out for that.
Oh, no. You know, that's the thing. We have to be able to develop the ability to include or exclude. Draw the line. Either you are with
Real
us
talk.
Or you're not. And if you're not, get the hell out.
Get
you
out
know?
The way.
And I know that the European has done what he has done so craft, you know, so surreptitiously, so evil and so demonic. And so that he has got a number of our brothers and sisters, Negroes, who are afflicted with the Urugu virus, that they will do any and everything to please their master. Coming into our presence, coming into our organizations and sabotaging and so forth. And we need, just like you said, call them out and eliminate them wherever, by any means possible. But it can't happen because we have to be on a march to self-determination. We have to be on a march to realization. We got some callers, brother. You want to take some calls? And you know,
oh, for sure, man.
Okay.
For sure.
Let me take this call right here. 646-646. Good morning.
Yeah, brother. What's going on, OTOs? And to your guests,
yeah.
I'm sorry I didn't get the brother's name.
This is Brother Alfonso Watkins, man. Brother Watkins. Brother Alfonso
Hotep,
Watkins.
Family. Hold up. Hotep,
and nice to meet you, brother. I'd like to thank you, Brother Ochi, for quoting me in regards to Brother Amos. Because anytime you have a Negro tell you something about psychology and you ask them that question and they say, no, they haven't read nothing by Brother Amos, run from them. Run from them. It's like running away from the Urugu. I'm telling you, if you stand there and you listen to them and you talk to them and you do anything with them, you're harming yourself. Like you say, Brother Oshi, get out. I say get away from them quick, fast, in a hurry.
Yeah.
Because the mind is twisted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I even thought that, you know, psychology was psychology. But then I had the opportunity to be around Amos, to read Amos. You know what I mean? And it's like Amos used to always say, your mind, your spirit, your soul, your being is different than the Urugu.
Right.
The Urugu never practices or lives a life or have the type of spirituality as an African. Do you understand that was the reason why Jeffries got in so much trouble back in the day when he put forward the theory of the Iceman and the Sun People?
Mm-hmm.
So whereby, if you don't understand our existence on the planet as a people and just our whole total psychological behavior pattern, then something's wrong. Because remember this, and never forget this, our loving, African, caring, spiritual nature allowed that bastard to live. Because if we knew what we know about this bastard, whenever he came into our existence, we should have killed him. But because we were not that type of people, because that wasn't what was in us, what did we do? We cleaned the bastard up. We took the bastard off of all fours and civilized them. And in civilizing them, what did we create? A damn monster that the world will never be able to get rid of other than doing what needs to be done. And I'm a strong supporter of the South African burning necktie. Please, please, just one day get to the point where we could put it in heavy rotation. So, yes, brother, be
all right.
clear.
All right,
we
Jay.
Be free yeah. Africans if we don't understand who we are on all levels. On all right. levels. And we're not, and we nothing like the white man.
Nothing
like that
like,
devil.
No. Nothing like.
We don't even think like he thinks if we really find our African self in spirit. And unfortunately, because of who and what our DNA is, we allow this bastard to continuously do what he do to us because, unfortunately, we don't have that barbaric, brutal nature that that dog has.
Yeah.
So, that's brother, thank talk. You for the good work that you're doing. And, hey, listen, our people one day are going to have to toughen up, man up, and go to war with this devil. That's the only way we're going to survive. Because he shows you each and every day what he thinks of you. I mean, how could this nut job in the devil's house talk about it on all days Easter time? Lord have mercy, the sky daddy got him. Talk about he wants people to go back to work to open up the system so that capitalism could get its more greedy and wretched hands on the people. And here it is, you got people where I'm living at in New York dying
yeah.
every day. I mean, it's getting worse. Mm-hmm. You got a situation now in Louisiana
yeah.
that's going to be yeah, the that's... second Katrina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's talking about you getting back to serving the Yoruba.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, something is fundamentally wrong with these
yeah.
people. I mean, why can't you just shut it down and get everybody whole and healthy and then go back and build it up? Because if you notice anything, the dough is increasing the last couple of days when there was that madness and that talk about, you know, going back to work, and now they done gave them a little bit of money in the stimulus package, so things are just gonna, you know, go on the uprise anyway, because the devil feels now he's gonna get some money. But, you know, we as a people, we better sustain ourselves and make ourselves whole, brother.
I hear
listen,
you.
Brother,
all right.
Just
thanks,
let
Jay.
Me go to the next person.
Okay.
I'm enjoying this, man.
All right,
it's
right
always
on.
Good to hear a brother like you bring forward what you bring in forward, brother. Hold up.
Hotel, bro.
Hotel.
Thanks,
hotel.
Brother Jay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's real talk, man.
Yeah. If you want to comment, go ahead, my brother, because we got
yeah,
some more
yeah,
brothers
he,
on the line.
Yeah, he dropped a lot of science, man. I just would like to say with the concept of what Bobby Wright was putting forth with the sociopathic personality disorder that
yeah.
you attend, we really have to get back to understanding the nature of this dude, man, and his woman, man, so that we can really once again conceptualize what type of educational and socialization we going to need to combat them, man.
Yeah.
And like you said, Oshie, ain't nothing else to talk about, man.
Yeah.
If no, this just... ain't the conversation that we having, this is the conversation, man. If
yeah.
we got to start talking about an African-centered education and socialization for ourselves and our children so we can have the necessary coping mechanisms, psychological defenses to deal with the constant assault on our spirit and our psyche, man.
That's right. I say. We got another caller. 267-902.
Hey, good morning, Brother Oshie.
Hey,
I want to say good morning
Brother Ralph.
To your
Brother Ralph, how you doing, man? How you been, man? Good.
I'm fine, brother. And, you know, I'm listening to the conversation, And I didn't get my brother's name because what happened, I was listening to it on TuneIn.
Okay.
And TuneIn went out.
Oh, is that
and
right?
That's the reason
oh.
why I called in.
Oh.
Because TuneIn is, it went out, man. You can't even connect to it.
Oh, wow.
But you know, I was listening to the brother. Brother,
Alfonso
brother
Watkins.
Alfonso?
Yes.
Brother
okay.
Alfonso.
Brother Alfonso. You were in the military at one time, correct?
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, and you know, and see, I'm gonna come from a another angle I just wanted to add to the conversation. Now, I do believe that we have to understand who the enemy is and then develop some coping skills to deal with them more wisely. Now, I myself went through the military, went into the United States Navy. I had a lady, I had a child, and I had another one coming. I could have chose the streets or anything that was available to me for the protection of my child and that lady. You know what I mean? And right. The reason why I chose the military just seemed like at that time in my young life, that was a better route to go than to take my chances on the street and be behind bars. So I did chose that route. Now, remember when I went in there, I remember the first thing they said to us, they said, do you believe that you come in here to fight for freedom and democracy? And they said, if you believe that lie, then dismiss it right now. You come in here to keep the sea lanes open for commerce. So they let us know right then, the Navy is nothing more than protecting this man's money.
Yeah.
When I went to college and I was like 17, 18 years old, Economics 101. I remember these things, brother. It told me that the only way capitalism can survive, you got to create a permanent underclass to step on.
Mm-hmm.
And right mm-hmm. then and there, at mm-hmm. 17 years old, I knew they were talking about us.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, right. You know, and so the thing about it, going through the religious phase, going through all these things, I look at my experiences. And I'm a little bit more, I'm a little bit more merciful or I can't put it, you know, toward a person that's still going through those phases. You know, like I'm in my 60s now, but I'm a sum of all my experiences. So when I see somebody struggling with a sovereign mindset, or when I see somebody struggling with religion, or I see our younger brothers and sisters going into the military, I got to look at my own experiences and say, like, wait a minute. I can be a little bit more empathetic mm-hmm. with them
right?
because of what my road to get to where I was at. So when I hear brothers and sisters, deep as yourself, you know, talk about it's my way or die, I said, well, wait a minute. Sometimes our conscious mindset could be just as divisive. We could be just as much. We could create some division amongst us with a conscious mind than we can with, you know what I mean? I'm trying to put this in a way because I hear all these YouTubers on there and I see how they fight against one another and all this. And you know, and I feel like, man, when are we going to develop the self-discipline? Because, see, I'm a person, when I hear a person telling me, like, we have to go and we have to... Me and my wife, we had a trip. We were going to go to Egypt and we were going to go to Ghana this year. We had our hotels already. We were going to go over there because we're looking into dual citizenship.
I say.
Because I do believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
I do yeah. believe that's where we have month. To go.
Yeah.
But see, for me to believe it, I got to put it into action and do these
right.
things. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm looking for people that's putting these things into action and say, like, brother, this is the way. This is how we do this. And this is how we can survive. So when I see that, I can go more by an example than dialogue. And see, that's just my mindset, brother.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everything I agree with, I do believe that we have to be have a sovereign mindset.
Yes.
But I think there has to be discipline to get there. And that's what we got to get. Self-discipline means a lot to me. You know what I mean?
You're right.
Because, you know, and so... I'm listening. I agree, but when and we know how undisciplined and how evil and how wicked this man is.
Yeah.
His history proves that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's make sure that we don't take up that same character. You know what I mean? Let's develop our own mindset, and that way we can be more empathetic to those we see struggling with these situations through our experiences. You know, and that's where I come from as an individual. You know what I mean? And let me know where I'm wrong at. Maybe I'm missing something. So I'm very open to other people telling me about me since I shared myself with you guys. Mm-hmm. Let me know about me and where I'm missing it. Because sometimes it seems like we beat up on those people that are still trapped by ignorance. We're not gonna attract our brothers that way. We gotta attract them by example and self discipline.
I said,
so, right. You know, just okay. Let me know where I'm wrong. Right. You know what I mean?
Well, listen, we're gonna take that conversation up when we come back from the break, Brother Alfonso. You can put your thoughts together if you want to comment on what Brother Ralph has said. We have some other callers waiting as well.
I'm gonna go back on mute.
Okay.
All right, brothers.
All right, thanks, Brother
Thank
Ralph.
You, sir. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks for sharing, brother.
Yeah. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We're talking with Brother Alfonso Watkins. So we'll be right back. You stay with us. There's more to come.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com, blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Soul Makusa. That was Brother Manu Dibango. Soul Makusa. Yeah, he passed yesterday. He died from the coronavirus, from COVID-19. That song was made in 1972. A lot of good music in the 70s, particularly around 1972. Time my daughter was born. And yeah, he was a Cameroon. He died in Paris, France. But he was born in the Cameroon. Soul Makusa, Manu Dibango. And I know that God is pleased with his work, and he's joining the ancestor realm of all those other beautiful, outstanding musicians, you know.
Right.
Soul Makusa.
Yeah.
So, yes. Okay. I usually announce some of the other program we have, but I'm going to read this just for those brothers and sisters who are still on, that I read every program is the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. And for today, March 25th, just what we were just talking about, and a lot of times it hits like that. I tell you, but Baba Mwalimu Baruti is just outstanding. He's a good friend, a good brother. He is just, man, Baruti is, yeah.
Yes, y'all, brother, man. Straight up warrior. African warrior.
Exactly. And teaching warriorhood. He says here, this is March 25th. William Strickland says, "We are dealing with a people who are not penitent. That means they're not forgiving. They don't give a damn. We are dealing with a people who are not penitent, exhibit no remorse for their wrongdoings, seek all possible means to preserve in their nefarious plots, and when found out, blame others for their misdeeds." That's William Strickland. Baba Baruti says, Our traditional wisdom teaches us that a person becomes human only through social and spiritual development. It is not an honor assumed at birth. Just because you come here in the same way that a male or a female does not become a man or a woman simply because they father or give birth to a child. It is an achieved state gained through learning and correctly practicing these qualities, such as being selfless, kind, considerate, generous, attentive, humble, caring, respectful, merciful, xenophilic, and conservative of that which is good, creative, and healing, that have a universally been defined as human creating. One learns them through oral lessons and observations. This humanizing evolution in the individual can only occur within the context of an involved and spiritually, intellectually, and emotionally mature community. Of course, since even when these qualities are stated as admirable, they are only practiced for show, to deceive, but not from the heart in Western society. This begs the question of whether Europeans have ever been human. Affirm, I am human. Affirm, I am human. That's where we are. That's real talk for sure. Real talk for sure. And we have a lot of folks on the line there, brother. Let me get us another call because they've been waiting. And I appreciate this very much, dear brother. Brother Alfonso Watkins on the line with me again. It's been a while.
Yes. I'm enjoying you, brother. Enjoying you.
Always.
Yeah.
602, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie, and good afternoon, Brother Watkins, Brother Marcus.
Yes, brother.
Brother Marcus calling from Memphis, man. Brother Marcus is from Jamaica.
Yes, man.
Indeed, good brother. Yes, indeed.
Respect, man.
You know, I was reading from the philosophy and opinions of Marcus Garvey the other day.
Mm.
And he has a little paragraph in there. It says, "The aptitude of the Negro to disobey orders coming from himself." And he said, Garvey said, "The only solution for our people is the removal to an environment of our own where we will be forced under strict rigid civil order to respect ourselves. And it's true, because in this here society, our people get rewarded for bad behavior. And that's why we carry on so much foolishness in this society, because we get rewarded for bad behavior. Mm-hmm. We got to be removed to an environment where we have control over our people. You see? So, you know, the only solution for black people is Africa. I don't see no other solution.
Yeah.
And for people who are saying, oh, well, you know, we struggled and fought. Yes, we did. But we have to remember that this country belongs to the red man. And the red man, he ain't dead. He still want this country back.
Real.
So by us saying, well, you know what, we're not going back to Africa, we're going to stay here, we are helping the white man to step on the red man's neck, because this is his land. You know, and why would we turn our back on the richest continent on the planet to deprive the red man of his territorial integrity? You see? So I don't see no other solution for our people. We have been here. I was listening to, I was on the program last night with Dr. Rogers.
Yeah, I was on the program too, Brother Marcus.
Yes, and I had a headache listening to that brother who was telling us, oh, well, we have to stay here, you know. But I kind of understand what he was saying. Because he was saying, I think he was saying, well, if we had our own territory. But the problem with it is, you can't, not in America, see? Not in America, because as Sister Ayan said, every community that black people built in this country were destroyed, see? And as the brother say, rightfully say here, now this virus, that is another avenue they planning to use to destroy us again. See, so it's time, full time for us to get our act together. You know, I was reading an article this morning, and they said, no, countries are beginning to hoard food now. See? They say, countries now are saying, with this virus now, they say, you know what, we're not going to sell you our food now. We're going. So that put us in an... And even in Africa, I was looking, they said, Africa is the biggest importer of food.
Yeah. That's a damn shame. That's a shame.
What the hell is going on with Africa, with all that land, you know? But I know what's going on, you see, because they subsidize the African government not to produce food.
Right.
I remember they did that in Jamaica. Right. They did it when Michael Manley was prime minister. You know, they give him hell. See, they didn't want... They didn't want to the people to farm. See? No, don't do no farming. You know, let us bring in the food. Let us bring in. And America deliberately sabotaged the government. You go to the supermarket, nothing on the shelf. So, but you know, as I said, out of bad can come good. But this situation that is upon us now, I think it's gonna force us to do the right thing. Because
right.
When some hunger pains begin to hit us, we're going to have to turn to each other. You know?
Yes.
But I'll mute and continue listening, because as Brother Ralph said, they don't knock off the thing off the tuning, so you can't hear nothing. You know, so we got to call in and listen. All right, good brothers, I'll mute and I'll continue listening.
Thank you, Brother Marcus.
Respect. Yeah, man, he started off with the great Marcus Messiah Garvey, and we are, and you mentioned it too, Osha. We had a real critical period in our evolution as we coming out of this condition of being socialized under this European social construct. So we are going to have to separate ourselves, and that means separate ourselves from some of us who look like us.
Yeah.
everybody ain't coming. So, I mean, so even when Brother Raph was speaking to, you know, giving individuals opportunity to maturate or in their maturation to come to this point, we can't afford to do that no more. We really going to have to create a space where we create an African-centered out of a cultural orientation that's African-centered and a rites of passage program to take our males and females through this process of preparing them to be African.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people are uncomfortable with that, but that is what those of us who recognize and who have studied what our ancestors have put forth, that is what we're going to have to do.
Right.
And it's just that cut and dry. So, I mean, everybody ain't coming. And at the end of the day, those who don't want to come, we don't want them in the space
exactly.
anyway.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that's real talk.
Yeah. You know, that's the question for us, to be African. You know,
right.
To be African. That is the question for us. And what we need to understand what that means. It don't mean black. And I know many people use black and African synonymously. I understand that. But there must now be a distinction, because there are some folks who say that they are black, but they don't want to be African. They're black. They love the society. They're capitalists. Some are Republican. Some just, because see, them being black is the opposite of being white. They want what white has. They want the jobs. They want the car. They want the lifestyle. They want all of that. When I think of that, I think of Stephen A. Smith or classic
Negro Pins.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Classic Negro Pins. Stephen A. Smith and what's that? Steve Harvey and so many others. You know.
And you know something? Excuse me, Oshi. You know something? What's funny and what's really disgusting is a lot of those Negroes know better, but they just don't want to accept the fact that the Yorugu is who he is. There's no way in the world, and let's take this and let's be very clear, someone like Stephen A, who's been around certain environments, that done seen the trickery, that done been in black spaces. Remember, Stephen A come from a HBCU. He's been around probably one of the greatest black basketball coaches ever, Big House Game.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And for him to become who and what he is, you have to know that that is the control of the white man. Because, see, you're not going to never tell me, and I'm just going to be frank with you, that Negro there don't know the Yorugu for who he is and for what he is. And he hasn't seen the Yorugu at its finest in regards to trickery, manipulation, and all of those things. But what happens is Negroes like that, they want that lifestyle.
Exactly.
They want that balance.
They want all of those things.
Yeah. You understand? But they ain't never going to be Yorugus. They're never going to be part of this Yorugu system, because let me tell you something. Whenever the Yorugu have a chance to get your black behind, he's going to get your black ass.
Don't get him. That's right.
Look at it from this guy who was supposed to be the superstar of so-called black up-and-coming politics. The monkey man twisted sister.
Andrew Gillum.
The white man did him just like the Twixit was doing him. You understand what I'm saying? But he was supposed to be our so-called, as they say, shining light.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to be something that we should have our kids look up to. When he was nothing more than an undercover, filthy, stinking monkey man, twisted sister who liked to take back shots while you rule. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Another one they're about to give up, this Stacey Abrams. Okay? Now all these Negroes so proud of her, so happy about her. But remember one thing. She a twisted sister carpet muncher who got her a Yorugu, just like that mayor in Chicago. They love to be around that filthy whiteness. So how could I, as an African, ever trust a dog like that? Come
we got some work to do, man.
Keep it real. Yeah. You got to watch these work. People.
But see,
everybody
once again,
the white
see,
man except they give you is not good for
see,
you.
See, but see, Jay, and listen, the understanding is this. You are in their environment. This is theirs, not ours. And in theirs, there's a lot of things that are accepted. You may not like it, but it is accepted. It becomes a norm. Homosexuality now is a norm. You may not like it because I don't like it either. I have people in my family. I don't condemn or condone it, but I'm just saying it is what it is, you know? But I would love to have an environment that is African-centered, that has men and women working together to build family and community because that's what we need, and have children that are strong in mind, heart, and spirit. These are the things that I would love. I have another caller here, 447-447. Good afternoon.
That's Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, good afternoon, Brother Ochi. Good afternoon to Brother Jay. Good afternoon to you guys. How you doing, Brother Paul?
This is Hotel, family, Hotel.
Yeah, this is Brother Paul from the UK.
Okay, what's happening, Brother Paul?
Yeah, it's all good, man. It's all good. I haven't heard all the program, but I thought, let me just try and, the time period, because, you go back an hour, but it always catches me out.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought, let me just phone in. So I haven't heard all the show, but Brother Ochi, how is things over there? I keep seeing these pictures on the internet with all the army coming in. I don't know if it's true or not.
Well, the National Guard is moving in. They don't want to institute a total lockdown of the country, i.e. like Italy and what's going on in Spain, you know, but because what they want to happen is that this thing plateaus to a degree so they can try to get back to business. And so the stock market can continue to rise and rich people can continue to make money. It's not talking about in terms of jobs, because a lot of people are going to lose their jobs. There are a lot of businesses that may not be able to reopen because of how bad the situation is. You know, what's happening in the UK? UK, they got to shut down, don't they?
Absolutely. I think yesterday or the night before, Boris Johnson issued the same thing. Shut down, apparently everybody's got to stay in their homes. No meeting with more than two people. But, same thing, exactly. Yeah. Although there are people out. People can't just stay in their homes. Yeah. But if there's a gathering of two or more people, there's a risk of being arrested, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
See, that's not happening here because, a lot of times people have ignored staying home. They have congregated in parks and other places. Now, they probably shut down businesses, some businesses, i.e., restaurants. And other
bars, barbershops, all that type of stuff. They closed, shutting all that down.
Yep, and theaters and so forth. You know, anywhere people could congregate like that. But by the same token, there are some people, that they ignored it for quite some time in Florida for the spring break. People were down there in mass. In fact, there's some issues with Texas. And I know that California said, man, we're going to shut this whole thing down. And I think, to really get a handle on it, like myself, I'm susceptible. I've had pneumonia because that's what this virus is. It's pneumonia. And I've had pneumonia a number of times, particularly back in 06 and 07. So I'm susceptible. So I definitely got to stay in. And not only that, two people that I know and a possible third person I just found out that I know are dying from this virus have died from this virus. I just mentioned Brother DeBango, who stole Makusa. He died yesterday. He was 86 years old, in France. So it is serious, whether it's man-made or not. And we can discuss that because they did arrest a Harvard professor who was working with some Chinese in the area that was totally shut down to create a virus. It's just like Fauci, who here in the States, Brother Paul, and I know the listeners know, who has been on these daily, everyday press conferences. In fact, wasn't on there for a while because he keeps jamming up Trump in his lies. But one thing I disagreed with Fauci on many years ago, he was unequivocally saying that the that the AIDS virus was not man-made. The AIDS virus has been proven to be man-made in Fort Detrick, Maryland, in the late 70s, when the Army wanted a biological to create or to research a biological weapon. The documentation is there. People have lost their lives. I remember when Zaire Miles, who was killed, was on Montel Williams' program, him and Dr. Strecker, and they both talked about the AIDS virus and how it was created, bovine virus. You know, so to think that these things happen naturally and that people are losing their lives across the world, it is a natural. It is not. You have one person, Bill Gates, who's been going around the world talking about vaccines and saying I don't know if he slipped up or he just bold enough to say it. Yeah, he's probably bold enough to say it. But he told a crowd, he said, we have created a vaccine that will help in population control. I thought a vaccine was supposed to help people heal and cure. He said a vaccine that will help in population control. What does population control mean? That means death.
Right. He is the head or one of the heads of that eugenics.
Eugenics. The eugenics movement.
Eugenics. He is at the top of the food chain of that science now.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. So a lot of times when we have this conversation, we have to be able to identify these Europeans who are that eugenics science, that movement is on a whole nother level, man. And we, once again, ain't having, in many cases, having a continuous conversations or have not created think tanks who could specifically that's what they do. Because a lot of times, man, in warfare, we get distracted because we have not organized ourselves as a collective unit to look at what are the tactics being used to keep us in the condition that we're in. So we have to become more strategic in our movement as a collective group of people coming out of an African cultural paradigm. And you have started the conversation off about the reality of what is African, but we have to resurrect an African culture so that we can all govern ourselves with the same morals and values, traditions and rituals and practices, but it also has to be a personality. Because your culture cultivates your spirit and your personality. And we're going to have to redefine that.
Yeah, and but see, that's
resurrect
what,
it.
And I agree with you. That's what we must do, because we must use that as the framework for us to move forward as a collective, as a people. We must infuse ourselves and embrace that and move forward with that. But understand this. We're in America. It is very difficult for us to do that. America's about individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. That's what the Western world is, not just America, because it's the same. Isn't that the same way? Isn't that the same thing that's happening in the UK, Paul?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me just say a little thing about these vaccines, because they are scary. My uncle, my mom's got a brother who's a severely autistic, and he's probably 56 now. And I remember having a conversation with my grandmother, and my grandmother said to me that she remembers that when he had the vaccine, remember he's 56, so this is going back a little while, because we kind of look at this thing as a current thing, but she says to me, after he had the vaccine, she noticed the change, and he was normal before that. He kept on getting sweats and temperature, and then he was never the same again. That period of time, they didn't have all the training they have now and all the help they give autistic children. But even more worrying, my mum's elder sister, I had a conversation with her about that same uncle, which is obviously her brother. And she said to me that her two children, who were my cousins, she said she didn't give them, because of him, that she didn't give them no vaccines. But listen to this. More recently, right, my cousins, because you got to understand, I say this, a lot of people are not going to like this, but I call it the modern woman syndrome. Some of our people, we educated, One of my cousins went to private school. And we have this type of education where we think that the white man's actually better. And we think that despite what we're told, because my auntie told me between me and you and the rest of the world, that she told me that she told them not to give them the vaccines. And listen to this. They did give them the vaccine. Now we've got, I don't talk about it in the last couple of years, but where their child is autistic, both of the children have come out autistic and they were normal children. This is recently. Now, as I say this with great pain because I can't, I find it hard to talk to them. because for my aunt to just whisper in my ear, she said, I told them not to give it to them. And my cousin, her grandchild is now autistic. And my sister, she has his vaccine. He's showing all sorts of signs of autism. So I'm saying that this is not a joke. And I've been looking at this thing for a long while. You know, even in the nursery, my children, my two daughters, they're growing up now. But there was about four black boys in there with autism. And there is evidence to suggest that this whatever they're putting in this nonsense is affecting black boys disproportionately. So listen, this has been going on a long time. This is not new. These people want to reduce us. Yeah, they want to reduce us on the planet, and we don't seem to want to come together and discuss what is in these things. What is this about? Because right now, if you want your child, and I know it's the same in America, if you want your child to go nursery, they are forcing these people to have meetings.
Right.
And this has been going on for a while. This is not new.
Yeah.
This has been going on, and we don't seem to have. What angers me and what annoys me, we just don't seem to have. We don't seem to want to come together and talk about this, or you know, I can tell you that even the HPV, what they call the human papillomavirus, they give it to girls the age of 14 and 12 and 14, and I didn't give it to my daughters, and they asked me to come into the school and ask me why. I said they're not having it because I'd done some research and I realized what was going on, and they wanted me to sign something.
You can make them fertile. It could make them fertile. It could make them fertile.
Human
papillomavirus,
The senior practitioner who was advising the government woke up one day. She said she made a statement on the internet. So she had a crisis of conscience, and she said that she had lied and that the girls were dying from it.
Wow.
So this is a madness which has been going on a little while. And as I'm telling you the story, I was telling a friend of mine at a place the same thing I'm telling you. And a woman came up behind me. Trust me, if I'm telling you one word of a lie, may I be struck down dead. A woman came up behind me and put her hand over her mouth, and she said, my daughter, after she had the HPV, she went into septicemia, and she nearly died. So I'm telling you, you know, and she just heard me telling the story. So this is the reality. And many people are facing. So, you know, there's no surprise here. No surprise.
Yeah, sad. Deep. It's deep. And see, the thing is this. We fail to understand the depths that these people are willing to go to maintain the position of privilege that they created for themselves and what they will do to eliminate competition or any other people. You know?
Right. And the Baba from Jamaica, man, he was hitting that on head. We don't even have, there's a level of they so barbaric. We not even on that we ain't on that low of a frequency. We don't function on that low of a frequency to do the things that these barbarians would. But Tony Courtney, says, brother here in Milwaukee, one of the elders in the community always says, if we are not prepared to drop bombs on women and children, we ain't gonna be able to overcome this cat. If we not able to get to that level to understand that we may have to go to that level, he said, we ain't gonna be able to defeat this cat. Because we continuously are trying to compromise with a non-meiotic. That's what Queen Mother Omni say. They non-meiotic people. So we trying to compromise and have an understanding with a people who ain't even human.
At least they
ain't even human.
At least they have exhibited traits that are unhuman-like.
Unhuman-like.
They're amoral. You know, that's why I love Dr. Bobby Wright's psychopathic racial personality when he describes what the European is about and what they have done and continue to do. And see, our problem is that we keep holding hope because of what they've given us, a religion that they have given us, but Christianity makes one's mindset docile and looks at afterlife as opposed to dealing with the physical life that we have here on earth concretely and seriously. So we say to ourselves, you know, we can keep, you know, believing in God. And just like there's some in the church today that are having we're going to have church because this virus cannot come into the house of God because we're washing the blood of Jesus. Yeah, right.
Sky daddyism. But Oshi, you know something? What the brother just said is, in all truthfulness, probably one of our biggest problems. We don't, number one, want to accept the fact of who and what he is, because he's always been, in a sense, our overseer and our master. So the point is, as you look at what goes on in the United States, our biggest problem is that we think that we are really an integral part of this thing. But the reality is, this is a white man's country.
As
a white man country, the white man has the right to do whatever he wishes to do. You're never going to be in a power position than he is. It's just like when you hear people talk about 2043, when the minority will overtake the population in this country and be greater than the Yoruba. I could give less than the F if that's true, because we ain't never going to have the power. We're never going to be in a position to where as we dominate, because as this is showing us now, we produce, nor do we manufacture
anything.
Nor do we control of anything that will make the Yoruba have to come to us. And I don't care how many politicians you have in office. The Yoruba is always going to be your daddy, because he controls and he's showing you the most important thing, the right to say and do from which he pleases. So listen, until you manufacture and you produce and you are able to control and police your own, you always gonna be at the behest of this devil for your survival. And as soon as you understand and realize that, you be all right.
Right, right. That's why it's so important for us to, this conversation is for us to, once again, we have to create an African-centered socialization, an African-centered education, and an African-centered paradigm where we take our children and ourselves through a rite of passage. And so that's going to be critical for us to get to a place where we can off those who want to be African. And so we have to carve out the we of those who want to be Africans, because clearly everybody don't want this. But we going to have to create a space. So I'm in Milwaukee right now. When I come to Atlanta, I know where there's a place where I can go. There's some brothers and sisters who function out of an African paradigm. So we're going to have to create those hubs in local, national, or international places where we go, we are functioning out of the same paradigm. We gonna have to, because if we can't do that, we have a rites of passage program. So where are our babies gonna go practice it at? Where are they gonna go if we teaching them the Maotic principles? We teaching them how to practice the Naguga Saba, the seven principles of Kwanzaa. Where are they gonna go to practice it? So we have to take ownership of establishing institutions to create the type of human beings, the type of Africans that we need to move into the 21st century. So I think this conversation is critical.
Mm-hmm. Now think about this right quick. Now, I know that there's probably somebody in the listening audience that's gonna put a frown on their face when I say this. A couple of weeks ago, Oshi, I think we had Ava Muhammad on the air with Brother Elliot. And you know, their new scheme and game as far as I'm concerned, is this separation or else. Now, based on what your brother just said, as Africans, with the African understanding and the African principle value system, let's be truthful and let's be clear. Do you ever think that we as Africans could honestly be in a situation with the Nation of Islam as the overheading governance of the so-called new society? Let's keep it real. Mm. Let's keep it real. How is me as an African ever going to be able to sit down and be governed? Now, there's a difference between working with somebody and being governed by the Nation of Islam. Because ain't no one in hell. They're going to be a part of any group with someone like Louis Farrakhan on this planet and them not try to be the dominant force. It ain't no way in hell somebody from the Nation of Islam could lead me any effing place.
Well, let me just say this.
Keeping it real let me, as an African.
I hear you. And let me say this, because I've worked with the Nation of Islam, particularly during the Million Man March. I worked with Brother William Muhammad back in Milwaukee and many others, and know many Nation of Islam Muslims. I can't get with the theology. That is theirs. But what I can get with is that, are you willing to work with us for African independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty? If you're willing to work with us on that tip, I'll work with you, because I love what Malcolm said. Malcolm said, when I come to the table to deal with the issues of our people, I'm keeping Islam back at home. Islam is my religious philosophy. So I know if I bring that to the table, and you a Christian, or you a more science, or you a Seventh-day Adventist, whatever the hell you are, we're going to have issues. Because particularly for Islam and Christianity, but a lot of other religions are proselytizing and seek converts. So that's an issue. So keep that there. Because what's most important is that we suffer, not because of those religions. We suffer because we're African. Right. And so now what are we going to do as African men and women and families and communities and world to formulate for ourselves and our own? And have some respect for your religion, but don't understand what should be number one is us as Africans. Our problem on the continent and throughout is that these religious philosophies, many people think that's what's most important. Oh, particularly the Christians, because the Christians believe that, here it is for the Christians. I'd rather believe and it not be true than to not believe and it be true. Otherwise, I'm going to burn in hell.
But Oshi, you got to understand, and this is where we sometimes make a mistake, in who and what we're dealing with. You understand? You have to understand that it's a beautiful thing to be a part of something that, let's say, the nation is doing, and let's say some Christian organizations are doing. But in all truthfulness and reality, African sovereignty and African independence is totally different from what they preach it. You understand what I'm saying? And in order for you to be in an African sovereign situation, your Africanness must be dominant against any other outside forces, and damn sure any type of religion.
I agree, Jay.
We are spiritual African people who dealt on a total different spiritual level than Skydaddyism and Assalamu Alaikumism and all that other so-called religious ism. And we as people to be sovereign have to do that.
Hold on. So is that Queen?
Yes. Can you hear me?
We can. Go ahead, dear. Go ahead. Queen Ali, go ahead.
Yeah, peace to everyone. I'm Queen Ali, and I am a Muslim. I choose to practice Islam in serving our Creator. That does not mean I'm an Arab. That does not mean that I worship at the feet of anyone. That does not mean, Brother Jay, that you have to follow the Islamic tradition to be African. I follow the African tradition, even though I practice Islam. That's my practice. That's my religious practice. Some of us don't have to choose any religious practice to still be African.
That's right.
I agree with what the brother psychologist said, that we have to start practicing an African-centered consciousness and culture, because Africa is big enough for us all. And we are dual citizens already. And we should think as dual citizens. And we should start to come together and congregate to build our African citizenship on the continent or wherever we are. The problem is bigger than our individual selves. And we have to look at it as bigger than our individual selves, because tomorrow we may not be here. But what are we going to pour into our legacy here and in Africa? They are in just as much trouble as we are.
Yes, they are.
They are in more trouble because they don't know the Hurugu like we do.
Right.
So we are already dual citizens. And we have to work as dual citizens. And everybody ain't going to come.
Right.
But those of us who are conscious, we need to really start building our legacy and putting in the work that will align us as our ancestors aligned themselves with us. We got a lot of work to do. So
yes, we do. Yes, we do,
let's
Queen.
Just come together and start working as to what the commonalities are and go home and teach them and help them. We're powerful there. We may not be powerful here, but we can be powerful there because that's where we belong.
Ashe. And that's the thing, powerful there. We'll never have power. And understand what power is. Power, brothers and sisters, is not information and education. Because if the information and education you receive is flawed and inaccurate, and it is, no power. Power is not politics. Power is not voting. We have more people in elected office today than we've ever had. And yet our condition collectively is worse than it ever been. Not just here in this country, but globally. So power is not voting. You know, you're talking about putting somebody in office. No, it is their system, not ours. And then many times people get into office and what do? They fall prey to the machine. They fall prey to the big business. They fall prey to the pharmaceutical companies. How can a touche turtle looking ass Mitch McConnell amass all those millions from a state that's one of the poorest states in the country, Kentucky? That's because of the politics or the politics. So, no, you can't get any real power from that. You know, not education, information, not politics and voting. No, power is this. Power is the ability to define. This is a quote from Dr. Wade Nobles, who I think this is the most definitive definition of power. Power is the ability to define reality. Then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. The European went around and defined reality. Everywhere when he came out of that dark age, that medieval age, and started going around the world claiming everybody's stuff in the name of and saying this is the reality. And what he did is imposed his culture on all others. That's why there's no such thing as we never had integration, because integration means I take what you have, you take what I have, and we bring it together. That was never the case. There was nothing, anything that they wanted from us. This is a forced assimilation or a fractured assimilation that they have here based upon what they want you to be a part of. Because you ain't going to be a part of all of it, because this ain't for you.
It ain't for you. We ain't included in it. And I'm going to keep hammering this home, family, because an African-centered education, an African-centered socialization, an African-centered personality, it would channel our energies to use our children and our talents,
our resources for the benefit of us. And that's where that collective perseverance comes in at, where we start to understand if we don't pool our talents and our resources to for the benefit of for an African nation in the diaspora or when we go home, we have to create that reality. And our children have to see us as the adults is leading this, because they our babies now, those of us out here working with our babies, our young people, they looking for leadership. They looking for a model. They are always talking about what's the model, what's the blueprint, what's the formula. We have it, but we ain't practicing it as a collective group of people. So we're going to have to put aside our religious differences and come together under a cultural paradigm. And whatever vehicle you choose to practice your spirituality, as long as it has the principles of Maat in it, as long as it is, you can see the principles in the Guga Saba in it, and that's what you practice in, we can get along. So I think we just got to start once again defining or redefining and resurrecting what our ancestors have already put in place for us.
And see, that's the thing. We have everything we need. We have Real everything tough. We need. The only thing that we don't have is the right mind to implement it.
Right.
You know? That's it.
Right.
It's we are at war for the minds of our people. This program I always end is, if you know, if you listen to it and listen to the end, is I quote Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. It is about the mind. And of course, when you're bombarded 24/7, 365 with images and notions of your inferiority or your inability and the dominance of Europeans, what do you think that does to your mind?
Right.
When you see this on a constant basis.
Right. And part of what a lot of the brothers and sisters who have, like I said, we've mentioned Bobby Wright, Queen Aruma Ani, Francis Cress Wilson, Wade Nobles, Amos Wilson, when they're talking about a paradigm shift or your conceptual belief system, your worldview, we have to start understanding how or put in place things to protect our spiritual and psychological development. Because a lot of times what's happening is we haven't created the buffer. We've lost the buffer to protect our psyche, our self-worth, our self-image, our self-value. So we have to create those mechanisms to protect ourselves and our children, to give our brain the opportunity to function correctly. And so a lot of times this is a spiritual conversation, but then there's a psychological and biological conversation that we got to start having to help create the mechanisms to protect us from, once again, the type of warfare. Because they got abstract warfare, they got chemical and biological warfare, and then the thing what they're doing with this phone we don't understand is the subliminal seduction of being able, what's called personality nudging.
Personality nudging.
And what they're able to do with symbols and images with the phone and the computer is move your personality, nudge your personality into a constant state of confusion.
Mm.
So we got to start understanding that and start teaching that and helping our people understand you have to detox from the TV, the telephone, in the computer, to give your brain an opportunity to get organic experiences. Because what we've been exposed, yeah.
Well, you know, the key thing that you said that most people don't understand, and it didn't really click with me until I understand it, is one word, the key word, culture. Once you understand what culture is, then you're on your way to being African and sovereign. Because the essence of everything that you live, you experience, you practice, you do, should be based on culture. Culture is everything. Culture is God. Well, if you understand the concept of culture, and to be truthful, most people don't understand what culture is. Culture, in all honesty, is the essence of everything.
That's why
once you have an understanding of your culture as a people, Then there ain't nothing the Yoruba could do to you, man.
That's why the European tried to destroy and has destroyed or alienated us from our culture and imposed their culture on us, imposed their culture on the world. I mentioned last night on the broadcast that everywhere around the world now, everybody wears a suit and a tie. I don't give a damn what country it is. You wear a suit and a tie. You know,
not necessarily.
No, hold China on, Jay. Hold on. From a business standpoint, very seldom do somebody, there might be somebody within that culture who will wear their cultural dress. But in terms of a business concept, because that's what Europeans have imposed on the world. They have imposed their culture on the world and made us alienate ourselves from our culture. And in fact, degraded and demeaned our culture. You have to understand that what Europeans have done is the most evil, the most vicious, most nefarious concept of trying to eliminate a people by destroying their minds. This is menticide. First they did it physically. Right. First they did it physically. And now they're still trying to do it physically with these viruses and so forth. So I'm saying is that what we need to do is recognize who they and what they are and the fact that we cannot change them, where it's a waste of damn time. Leave them who they are. Recognize that. Be very aware of who they are. Keep an eye on them. But in the meantime, build yourself. Build yourself on the traditions of who you are and what you have done. Embrace your culture. Embrace African culture. Embrace African spirituality. I ain't talking about religion. If you want to be a Muslim, fine. You want to be a Christian? Fine. You want to be whatever? Fine. But the number one thing that you must be is African and be willing to work and embrace an African concept for the survival and upliftment of our people. But brother, we're about to go because I'm about to run out of time. But brother Afonso, you got any closing remarks?
Man, big brother, once again, love you, man. Appreciate you. And thank you for the opportunity to speak into the space with my African, with our African family, man. Peace and blessings, family.
Thank you, my brother. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, we thank you for listening. Please join us on Friday. I'm going to have another guest, Sister Bonisiwa, who if you've heard on Dr. Rogers' program, we're going to talk about issues concerning women. So Queen Ali, please give us a call this Friday. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Vahodia. Bibi Vahodia means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.
Ashe.
Ashe.